Today's reading is from John chapter 11, verses 32 to 44, and it can be found in page 1064 of your Pew Bible. It's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved them?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But the Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Then the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The word of God for the people of God.
Many, if not most of us, have heard these words of Jesus raising Lazarus, but oftentimes, if we were to retell the story, we'd probably stop at the point where Jesus walks out of the tomb, right? Because we think that's really what's going on here. Jesus waited to be able to show the glory of God in raising his friend Lazarus. And when Lazarus walks out of the tomb, that's the highlight of the story. But did you notice today it didn't stop there? It didn't stop. It goes on and it says, the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Unbind him and let him go. Going through our lives, we are always in the presence of death. And oftentimes, we do not speak about it within our society. We tend to put a distance between life and death. And yet, all of my adult life, coming from Norse and Celtic Christian traditions, I have been aware of what are called thin places. Has anyone else heard of this? Some have heard of thin places. They are spots where the mysterious membrane between earth and heaven separates, and you feel engulfed by the divine. The Irish and the Scots go further and they say in their legends that there are only 3 feet between heaven and earth. And in thin spaces, that distance is much, much thinner. Thin places transform us more into the essential beings that God has made each and every one of us to be. One thing I've learned is the more that I focus on the here and now, the less I am able to feel close to that thin space. The more I am worried about all the trappings of life here on earth, I distance myself from the eternal. We make the misperception that this distance between the ordinary and the sacred is profoundly separate. Many of us do it just as an example when we leave, we come to worship craving a part of the divine, right? And yet when we walk out of here, it's as if an hour later we'd never been here. It's like we are immersed back in the here and now. In truth, we are all but a breath away from eternity. Please think about that. We don't know how many breaths separate us from eternity, but it is true that only a breath will separate us from the eternal presence of God. We mistakenly believe that the sacred and the ordinary, or in theological terms, the profane, occupy separate worlds, rather than being in constant contact and touching us equally each day. Today on All Saints Sunday, we pause from the ordinary and we reflect deeply upon the sacred. We, now understanding what thin places are, maybe you can think back within your life at a time where you have felt surrounded by the sacred. You felt close, oh so close, to those perhaps who have gone before us in faith. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, felt very strongly about the presence of the cloud of witnesses and how important they are for us to both acknowledge and welcome into our midst. His journey reflects several entries on this. November 1st, 1748, he says, "Being All Saints' Day, we have had a solemn assembly in the chapel. As I cannot but observe, we have had this very day for several years, and surely this is right and dear in the sight of the Lord, as is the death of all the saints." And then years later, on November 1st, 1766, he wrote, "God, who hath knit together his people in one communion and fellowship, gave us a solemn session at West Street, as usual, in praising him for all the saints." So today, as Christians, we are united with all the saints of the church, those who are scattered around the world and those who are around our corners, those who lived 2,000 years ago and those who are yet to come, and those who are in our midst and those who are in our midst spiritually but have gone on to glory. We are all bound together in the same Lord and Savior. We are a holy, a sacred, and a gathered people, a community set apart for God and by God, which transcends space and time and even death itself. We live in the tension of being in a temporal world, but of an eternal God. This is constantly what we should be moving in, this tension. And if we are moving in this, we are feeling the close presence of the world, but equally the close presence of those thin spaces which say that heaven is close and near. Reflecting upon this aspect of living together in holiness, we share this time and this place, acknowledging that our eternal nature is in Christ. We remember those who have gone to glory, and we call to mind their faithful witness to a God who transformed their living here. Each and every one of us has somebody who has helped us understand what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Each one of us has that experience. Some of them are still among us, and yet others have gone on, have passed from us into eternal glory with Christ. And yet, when we recall them, when we remember them, there's a deep understanding that through those memories, we know more clearly who we are. Not just the experiences we had, but deep inside us, what our identity is as a Christian. I have had the wonderful experience of watching as Jesus has called men and women out of spiritual death and into new life. Notice I didn't say bodily death into new life. From spiritual death into new life. I have never lost the wonder and the excitement, the emotion of that kind of a resurrection, and I pray that I never will. I've also seen loving, caring people reach out and embrace and welcome strangers into their midst, helping them to meet new friends and develop new habits like coming to church and searching the scriptures. I've seen them provide encouragement to find and use their unique spiritual gifts in ministry through the church. And whenever I've seen this happen, I have recalled Jesus' instructions to the onlookers at the resurrection of Lazarus. Unbind him. Let him go. When we encourage newly resurrected Christians to become a vital part of our faith communities, that's what we're doing. We're taking off grave clothes. We're participating in the miracle of transformed and new lives. In Jesus' time, as today, there is a prayer that our Jewish brothers and sisters used in time of mourning. It's called the Kaddish, or the Kadosh, the holy. As you hear these words this morning, think of yourself in a deep place of mourning, a deep place of separation from someone who was close to you and important in your life. Oftentimes, it was the mourner who was asked to say these words. Glorified and sanctified be God's great name throughout the world, which he has created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom in your lifetime and during your days, and within the life of the entire house of Israel, speedily and soon, and say, Amen. May his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity, blessed and praised, glorified and exalted, extolled and honored, adored and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed be he beyond all the blessings and hymns, praises and consolations that are ever spoken in the world, and say, Amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all, and say, Amen. He who creates peace in his celestial heights, may he create peace for us and for all, and say, Amen. Did you pick up that in this prayer, there is no mention of death, no mention of separation? Did you notice that? Because in God, we remain one. The literal meaning of this is holy, and it is a doxology, lifting up God's attributes to which we should all cling: blessed, praised, honored, extolled, glorified, adored, and exalted. These are hard words for mourners. But yet, these words move us from places of separation and pain into union with the God who incorporates us all into his life forever. Judaism, which gave birth to Christianity, taught us that faith embraces all of life, and death is a part of that life. Christ's teaching tells us that we, as his followers, are offered a way through that thin veil, a way into the eternity which he provides for us forever. Our faith leads us through moments of joy and guides us through terrible moments of grief, all the time holding us firm through those complex emotions and bidding us to turn our gaze from the night of darkness back to the dawn of life in God forever. We are invited in our prayers and in our understanding that eternity is but a breath away to focus more on those thin places that we will encounter in our lives. Oftentimes, we're not looking for them. I've heard a short story, and I wish I knew who to attribute it to. It's not mine, but I think it's great. You cannot find sand dollars on a beach unless you are looking for sand dollars. Right? Think about it. We cannot find the sacred in our days unless we are seeking to observe those thin places in our life. We are but a moment in God's eternity. And today we remember all who have gone before us in faith and have showed us the way to God forever. This morning we remember them by name.